You're listening to Face Off, episode 109, recorded February 21st, 2011. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I am Mark Sanborn.
And in this talk,
coming at you live from the sick ward.
Yeah, apparently. Stuck up in the hospital or something. Hey, in this podcast, we talk about all kinds of things involving web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can get the show notes for this episode by going to faceoffshow.com. And our very own Mark Sanborn is fighting the good fight, trying to kick a dirty cold illness that he's got there.
Yeah, so if I sound like my nose is plugged, it's because it is. So
you convinced me. I've got some herbal tea here now. As soon as I heard your voice, I was like, oh, I gotta go make tea. I'll be right back.
Herb it up.
Yeah,
because the sickness is going around. It's that time of year. I think
it's like one
in the spring and one in the winter usually people get.
I don't know. It's like there's so much stuff going on where I work right now. There's like people with stomach flus and colds, and I don't know. Like my wife has something, so who knows? She like works with the general public all day too, so she's in trouble.
Yeah. So wash your hands and I
don't know. here's the best thing you can do is don't waste sick time when you're not sick, and then take sick time when you're sick. Think about it. It's amazing. Some people have the hardest time with this. It's like, listen, don't come to work if you're sick. Please don't come to work if you're sick, because you're just going to get everyone else sick, and then we're going to be even more miserable.
But we're so dedicated that
that's right. This didn't even show anyways,
even though I'm sick.
So. Mark tried to get me to not do the show. He did like four times. He's like, hey, let's not do the show. And I was like, Mark, we got to do the show. All right. Listen, you're sick. That's okay. But you got to plow through. So, or something like that.
Let's plow through. We got our first news and follow-up is, and I'm kind of excited about this, is Amazon S3 now supports static websites. So before, S3 was for static things like images and hosting like files. You could, but if somebody went to like a root directory of any, I mean, basically wouldn't display the HTML
page.
Right,
it would display like a file list, right?
Right. So now you can actually have a static page. Now you can't, what is a static page? It's, you know, back in the day, it's just HTML with, you know, some CSS. You can't really do any fancy stuff, but I think it's pretty cool and it can serve a purpose.
Yeah. Like we were talking about how pretty cheap. Some people could use it for caching. So like if you have a dynamic, you know, WordPress site or something and you get slash dotted or whatever they call it these days, you can put a static site up there, and definitely Amazon can handle the load, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I could definitely see some like WordPress plugins and things that, you know, is going to support this in the future, make it really easy for the user, just one click, you know. And the other cool thing is if somebody just wants to have a page that's just kind of an about page with like business hours and things like that, they don't have to get like a whole web server. They can just get a page and on this and basically pay per visitor, which is ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
Like this, I mean, definitely makes making a website super cheap.
Yeah.
The domain is going to cost a lot compared to what your hosting is going to be.
Absolutely. That's usually what there's a lot of parts to making a website that cost money these days, but hosting is just seems to get cheaper and cheaper. I remember when I signed up for DreamHost and I was like, oh, this is definitely the best host in the world. But if I'm hosting static stuff, that seems like S3 is a good deal. Bargain basement.
Yeah, I mean, for a while there, I was just, you know, I have a DreamHost account, and if somebody wants a small website, I'll just throw it on there because I know it's not going to have much load on the server anyways. But, you know, if it ever does get some, you know, Reddit-ed or slash dotted or whatever, it could be handy.
Yeah, whatever those kids call it these days. Hey, I want to thank our first sponsor for this episode, an application we wrote called Agile Task. Agile Task is a task tracking application featuring an agile workflow, tagging for organization and achievements. Agile Task, your lightweight personal backlog tool. Check it out by going to agiletask.me. Let's get into our geek tool of the week. I'm super excited about this one. One cool thing that you can have in the kitchen that will help. A lot of times when you're, you know, you have your, let's say you have your sharp knife that we recommended so that you can cut vegetables really nice. But really what you find is even with the sharp knife, cutting vegetables really thin and cutting a lot of them can be a royal pain. So, you know, if you're doing like caramelizing onions, you want really thin slices of onions and there's going to be a lot of them. So that's going to take forever. That's why you might want what we is called a mandoline. So what a mandoline is a sort of flat surface that is tilted up. And what you do is it has a very sharp angled blade on it that you can sort of set at variable heights and you slide the vegetable down, therefore slicing it really thin. So what we have today is a Progressive International HGT11 folding mandoline slicer. I looked at this. This is the most popular one on Amazon, and it's only $18.
Yeah, they've got an attachment to, you know, you can actually make French fries. And you can actually do slivers or carrots that way too.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, normally when I first saw this, I thought you could just do like discs.
Which is what most people use it for, I think. But yeah, you can also do what's called a julienne cut, which is basically really, really small, long rectangular cubes. Kind of like when you get chopped up carrots in your salad. Usually those are julienne cuts, the little sort of square long long ones. There's French fry cutters, all different kinds of sizes, yeah.
Cool.
The problem with these, though, and I can tell you, my mother, who is a veteran of the kitchen, my mother, who has been cooking forever, since she was like 12, just got a new mandoline last week and sliced a chunk out of her finger. So even the most seasoned mandoline veteran can screw up once in a while. So that's why our second geek tool of the week is the Blade X5 Classic Cut / Resistant Gloves. Cut resistant level 5 approved. These are just basically gloves if you're dealing with sharp objects, can offer you a little bit of protection. These ones seem to be pretty popular, so I thought, you know, be careful. Because the thing is, it's these mandolines are super sharp. Because if you're going to slice really thin like that, you need a super sharp blade. And most of them come with this little thing that you put on top of the vegetable so that when you're getting really close to the bottom, you know, it will cut the plastic and not you. Well, my mother, in her wisdom, decided that she didn't need that cool little attachment and sliced a chunk out of her finger. So if you like to live on the edge like our own Mark Sanborn does, get some cut-resistant gloves. Also, really cool. And those are our geek tools of the week.
Very cool. So let's get into our web apps. The first one I found was kind of cool. It's a simple little web app called httpstat.us, so HTTP status.
Yeah.
Basically, what this does is you go to a URL like httpstat.us/200, and that will produce an OK, like the HTTP status right. OK. And if you go to 201, that does a created, and you know a 404 is going to do a content not found, and so on. So if you have, let's say you're building a tool that's going to interact with an API or something, and that API might send a 404 or a 403 forbidden,
right?
And status you want dependent. Your app to recognize that, you could use a service like this.
Yeah, exactly. You just point your script to this instead and you say like, oh, the URL is httpstat.us/200 and it will return a 200 OK request. So that's the way, like if your app is dependent on like, okay, well, first I do this and if it says authorization required, then I do this until I get, you know, until I get a status 200, you can use this website to get just it's a quick site where you can dictate what status code it returns.
So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's very simple.
Yeah, simple but totally useful. What a great idea. Our next web app is called Wireify, which is apparently this Volkside makes tools. And this is one of their tools. And this is a particular tool of theirs that I thought was really cool. And what it is, it's a bookmarklet. So you would drag it to your bookmark toolbar or save it as a bookmark. And what this does is you can go to any website, you click on that bookmarklet, and it turns that website into a wireframe to the best of its ability.
Wow.
Yeah. So
looking at their example of the New York Times, and it's like, I mean, that's a very busy site with a lot of images and stuff, and mm-hmm. it does a very good job of wireframing.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're like me, like one of the things I had trouble with was like, I don't really know how to get into wireframing. I haven't seen a lot of wireframes. I've seen a lot of like sketch wireframes, but not, you know, and this does its best job that it can to simulate what this page would look like if you were to wireframe it. And then so I believe one of the things you can do is you can export it into something like OmniGraffle, which is really cool because then you could create this wireframe, export it into something like OmniGraffle, and then play around with it. Because there you have every element in the web page, and it's like, okay, well, if I know every one of these elements has to be in that new redesign, that's okay, because I just have all these elements that I have to work with. The problem with it, of course, is that, you know, even if it isn't a busy site, it does its best to try and wireframe it, but it's still not perfect. Like, I went to like jdrobbins.com and wireframed it, and it's kind of busy. It doesn't know how to logically group chunks together. Like, if I was doing a wireframe, I would kind of be like, here is a nav, and here is a text with an image inside of it, you know, but it literally takes every image, every paragraph, and makes it its own chunk into wireframe, which is all the best it can do. I mean, you really can't expect it to do too much more and, you know, sort of digging in without knowing it intimately. But for a machine, I thought it was pretty cool.
So this is a bookmarklet, so there's nothing to install or anything. You just drag it into your bookmarks and go.
Yep, exactly. Very cool. It's a little bookmarklet, and then you can go and wireify tons of websites. So if you want to see, like, well, like the New York Times, great example. Like, what would that look like if I were to sort of wireframe it? Go to a website with this bookmarklet and wireify it as soon as you can.
And if you could import it somewhere, you could kind of drag the pieces around.
Right, like you can export it to OmniGraffle.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool little app. I've been playing around with it a little bit. I like it a lot. If you guys listen to the show, before we move on, if you have some news, a follow-up web application topic, or geek tool you think we should look at, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know. Send out a tweet. Send us an email, studiofaceoff.com. Love to hear from you guys. We really appreciate it. And before we get into our topic, I want to thank our second sponsor, which is Rocket Ship It, the complete web-based multi-carrier shipping solution for small businesses and developers. Shipping rates, integrated tracking, and labels for UPS, FedEx, and USPS shippers. Rocket Ship It is shipping made easy. Go to rocketship.it.
All right, so we're going to get into our topic for this week, which is online promotion, or, you know, promoting your project or business online. And we've done a few projects, and I've, you know, speaking of, you know, Rocket Ship It, I've done some promoting on that. We're going to kind of talk about the things that me and you have tried.
I think you've done a lot more paid advertising. I mean, I haven't really done a lot of like Google AdWords or anything like that. I mean, you have a lot of experience, especially with your blog and sort of trying to sell paid advertising. I mean, I'm kind of more of the free stuff. And as we look at, you know, Agile Tasks moving forward, it's like we're talking about how I might have to do some promotion. We might have to look at that. And it's like, I don't really know a whole lot about it. So this is where I sicked you in your infinite sick wisdom, your illness right now, into looking at online promotion.
So the first thing is you need to get a baseline. If you don't know where you're at, you don't know if you're improving or not. Totally. Obviously, if you got like 10,000 sales tomorrow and you normally get like 2, you'll notice it. But sometimes the changes are subtle, especially if you have low volume to begin with.
Yeah.
And so it's always good to get a baseline, you know, how many people are coming now, and, you know, how many people are signing up or purchasing now. And most of the time you can get that information for free just using like Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. There's some tools out there. And Google Analytics will allow you to do funnels, but there's some other tools out there that make it even a little bit easier to do funnels. But you need to know, and what a funnel is basically is just the steps they go through to complete the action you want them to do. So if it's signing up, it's, you know, the first page of the funnel is the homepage, and then the next is the form is displayed, and then they fill it out, and then they get the registrations complete page or whatever. So you want to get a baseline, find out where you're at, and
because we talk about
and then Go ahead.
You know, one of the big things about any sort of promotion is you have to decide whether or not it's worth it. And that's sort of, you know, you can come with all kind of calculations, but really it's up to you whether or not it's worth it. But you don't know if it's worth it unless you know what difference it's having. And understanding even the differences of that as well, because sometimes with promotion, a lot of times, especially with the internet, everyone is so focused on goal conversion, right? Did they do this? Did they do that? And then oftentimes, I think what gets lost, and I think also is part of it, is just brand image, being on top of the head constantly. You know, if I can say like, okay, I signed up for Google AdWords, someone clicked this ad and signed up, that makes us feel good. We can't measure it when someone sees the ad, you know, 3 days later, they're looking around, they're like, oh yeah, I need to check out that rocket ship it thing that I was talking about, you know? And so, in general, your funnels will help that, but don't always look at referral links or look at, you know, results direct from advertising. Think about their sort of intrinsic on top of people's thoughts on the tip of their tongue sort of promotion as well.
It's a very good point. One of the mistakes I made earlier on when I was promoting was I went on Google AdWords and I was like, well, I'll just, you know, try some keywords randomly, you know, that I thought were related to my project and stuck them in there. And then, you know, the funny thing about AdWords is it does not alert you in any way, shape, or form that it's like basically billing you and stuff. It tries to keep quiet as possible so you forget about it. So I ran probably 4 or 5 months with some keywords that were, I mean, and I wasn't even tracking them, but by the time I started tracking them in Google Analytics, I found that the things that I was using for my ads were just, they were not converting. None of them. It was a total waste. But some of them were. So it was good to know which ones were and which ones were not. And part of it was a little bit of the confusion in the keywords I chose. People were looking for something totally that was not really related to what I did. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of want to segment your. I mean, you want to find your target market and the people that actually are interested in your product and start weeding them out, I guess, is before they even come to your site. That makes sense.
Well,
by picking the right.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Really.
By picking the right ad, I mean that's the type of person, and only if you get a baseline will you know if that promotion or that ad is working.
Totally. Well, and looking at your target market and people that are looking at projects, I think is really important. Which so one of our basic tips. I'm skipping ahead here. So the first thing you want to make sure you do, though, is you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot with search engine optimization. So one of the base sort of promotions that you can have is not really promoting. It's just people searching for stuff and finding your website.
So I would say it's 80 or 90, and I think it's more like 90% of the traffic to my projects come from searches. They don't come from my paid advertisements. They don't come from you know, other people's blogs or articles. It's just, and even with my blogs that I wrote in the past were all search driven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you can't ignore. SEO, I mean, I don't recommend people going hog wild and, you know, try to learn, you know, like tweak every little piece of their site, but there are some basics, and we did a show on the SEO, I believe, that covers most of the basics. Mm-hmm. Is just, you know, don't shoot yourself in the foot with them. Make sure you have at least the basics covered. You know, don't have something goofy like a session key in your URL that just makes every page a duplicate of the first, or like have your robots disallowing Google to come to your site so your site's not even on Google, right? You know, just things like that.
Right. And look at, use something like Google Analytics to look at for what people are searching for to get to your website. Like what we've noticed with Agile Task is that a lot of people are just searching for Agile Task or typing it in the URL bar and it ends up being a search or something like that. But then it's like right underneath that is people are searching for like, you know, backlog tool. And like, that's great. That's because, you know, that's our tagline, our personal backlog tool. And if people are searching for those and getting to us, that's awesome. And then maybe we should look at trying to optimize that more so that we're higher up in the ranks when people search for backlog tool. You know, sort of the next step after that is getting a baseline, looking at how people are searching, and then also for the ones that people are searching and getting to your site, trying to optimize and be sort of the best in class for that phrase.
Another traffic driver is commenting on blogs. I've gone in where someone's talking about shipping or something, and I go in there and I provide, the thing about this is a lot of people do this wrong. They'll just go to a blog that's like talking about something that's related to their project, and they'll just say, hey, check out my thing. Mm-hmm. And they don't provide any useful content to the conversation that's going on. And it's absolutely critical that you do. Otherwise, it's actually going to be negative towards your site. So, but it is important. I think it's a good way to quickly build a lot of links and also some traffic is by just being useful on other people's blogs or sites that are related to your niche or your project or whatever.
Yeah, I think what it does is it shows that you're and again, like you said, it has to be useful content, and you need to be honest. First of all, I hate it when I see a comment on my blog where someone is like, oh, you know, especially Face Off, we see it a lot, like, oh, you talked about this web app, here's another cool web app called this, and I look at the guy's email address or something, and I do a little sniffing, like, that seems spammy, and it's like the guy that created it. Just say in your comment, like, hey, I'm so-and-so, the creator of this, you talked about, you know, this, and this is my product that I did that's kind of like this, this is why it's better. Be useful, don't just try and hide it. And what I think you'll find from that is people will, not only does it give you exposure when they're reading comments, they'll see your name, see that you're smart, follow your links, but also it sort of gives you credibility in the community as a domain expert, which kind of fits into the next thing you need to do is write public relation, like PR releases or like guest blog articles. Because part of that is that, you know, if you're giving away something for free, you're helping out someone else. So they're going to be much more willing to like take your article. But also it builds that sort of domain expert, like, hey, look, I'm on this person's blog and they had a guest post by Mark Sanborn about how to integrate shipping. Mark Sanborn, who is the creator of Rocketship, must be really smart about shipping because he is writing articles about it and it's helping me out and it's useful.
Yeah. And I just thought of another one. I was looking up some stuff about Amazon, the email service today. Mm-hmm. And I was on Stack Overflow, which is one of those niche type websites where you can talk about programming stuff. And some guy asked the question, you know, should I use like Postmark or SendGrid or, you know, Amazon, or should I switch to Amazon SES because it's a lot cheaper? And a guy responded and he said, you know, when somebody like Amazon comes in, there's just no way like Postmark can compete on price, but Postmark might have a lot of awesome features that are, you know, go mm-hmm. above and beyond what Amazon could provide. And at the end, he said, you know, I'm the creator of Postmark. Mm-hmm. He said like, we can't compete on price and things. And he mm-hmm. talked about, he wasn't negative
honest
or anything,
about
but
it.
Honest about it. Like you said, he put a disclaimer out there that he was the creator of it. So, and his question was voted towards the top because he provided some useful content. And I bet that drives a lot of traffic to him.
Oh, it does. I mean, think about it right now. We're talking about on the show because it's the creator of this web app who is participating in the community that we are part of. I feel much more apt, you know, that if I need a service like this to go to him, because it's like, he's another guy like me, you know, Amazon, sure. If you want the bargain, you know, if I'm sending, you know, millions and really prices is the object, you know, not the complexity of the system, features and stuff like that. If it's just sending email, I'll go to Amazon. But, you know, any other application I have where, you know, it involves email or something, I'm going to look at this guy because he's a Stack Overflow member. That's cool to me because that's a community I'm part of. And that really drives me to try and check out his goods and services first.
One thing that's helped us a lot before on my blogs in the past, and as well even on this podcast, was doing guest blogs or like interviews. Mm-hmm. Just find somebody that's in your industry and talk with them. A lot of times they'll, you know, even if they're not like I don't know, just people want to see what that person. People that normally follow that person's gonna come to your thing just to see what mm-hmm. it was, and then they might, you know, cross pollinate or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we still get a ton of traffic from David Walsh. I think you were just about ready to mention that. Like, we interviewed mm-hmm. David Walsh. He has a very, very, very passionate following, and I'm sure some of our subscribers came from that because they were like, oh, mm-hmm. I like David Walsh. I want to hear him interviewed. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, you know, this is a pretty interesting podcast with useful content. I think I'll subscribe to it.
And I'm sure we introduced some of our listeners to his blog and some of his ideas with JavaScript and things.
Absolutely.
And so it works out good for everyone, really.
Absolutely.
So, Another thing you can do is participate on some of these niche websites. We kind of talked about Stack Overflow, but there's, you know, like Hacker News. You can comment on things that come up on Hacker News.
Totally.
Reddit is very similar to that. Twitter is a whole, I mean, Twitter's just huge. I mean, you can set up alerts to, you know, and you can do some searches on Twitter and find what people are talking about based on your product. Yeah, and you can respond. That's a very great way.
You know, if people mention AgileTask, I'm tweeting right behind them saying, hey, what are you, how's it going? Thanks for checking out. You know,
yeah.
All three of us actually.
You want to do this? Yeah. You want to do this for a lot of reasons. I mean, one, if somebody is talking bad, you want to be able to get right in there and say, hey, what can we do to make it better? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever, what's going on here? If somebody mentions your stuff and says how great it is, you might want to retweet it.
Say thank you.
Say thank you to the person. It's just great. And then also you can use Twitter to follow, you know, your competitors and just, and you can tweet out things periodically saying, you know, stuff that you're working on, things, new features that come out or whatever.
Yeah, I follow a lot of out of town programmers on Twitter. And so it's really cool to get sort of, you know, the down low on what they're working on. It really keeps me fresh on sort of the new technology out there. So that doesn't really relate to online promotion, but that's a great thing. That's a good thing about Twitter is you can promote at the same time while getting back from the community, learning and engaging them as well.
I think most of our listeners probably understand that you can't just spam Twitter constantly, but
it needs to be.
I guess
said.
It's worth mentioning because I do see it every once in a while where, you know, you follow somebody and all they do is just. Hey, we got a new thing out. Hey, we got a new thing out.
Like, if I talked about AgileTask 3 times a day, people would stop following me. And that's just rude, you know?
Yeah. I think maybe look at some of the successful Twitter accounts. I think Dropbox and Drobo are pretty good about it. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of promoting, but they also do things like, hey, you know, they ask opinions.
Rob had Western Digital. He mentioned, like, he said, like, rest in peace, Western Digital Drive. And Western Digital got in contact with him just from him saying that and said, hey, check your warranty because, you know, if it's still good, you should RMA it. And it ended up being excellent. Good, and he RMA'd it, you know?
And really, okay, so that sounds just like a nice customer support thing. But the thing is, too, is Twitter is public and everybody else gets to see this. So it's mm-hmm. promoting. It's totally promoting your business.
Yeah. Or I see a lot of tweets that are just like, you know, when they tweet about something they're not happy about and the company engages them directly. Then right after that, they'll say, like, you know what, that those guys over at Western Digital are freaking awesome. Thank you. And then, you know, that's free word of mouth.
Absolutely.
And it's genuine. It's not, you're not paying for it. You're just being a good customer service company, you know, helping people that really, if your product is unsatisfactory, you should be helping anyways.
Yep. YouTube is a good one if you've got videos.
A lot of retailers use YouTube, and that's a great thing too because oftentimes, like if I'm looking for an outdoor product, the first thing I do is just go to Google Video and search, and it's always a YouTube video, and it's always like someone's review. But a lot of times I like to see the company's video on it as well.
Yeah. You know, a lot of like e-commerce sites just have like pictures of whatever you're buying, but sometimes it's good to just get like YouTube, whatever the product is, and see somebody unbox it or whatever, especially like digital things. And they show you examples. Like when we were looking up our webcams, we went on YouTube and saw examples of videos that were recorded via the webcam.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow, that's quality, you know, picture,
good
video.
Good stuff.
They
say it's like a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a video is 30 frames a second, 30 pictures a second.
So the video is also on YouTube, which means like even if you embed that, it basically allows people to go to YouTube and search for the product even without being on your site and or see related videos. And then also people can, it's like a social, everybody knows, I guess, what YouTube is, but you can comment, you can relate to the videos and it really helps for promotion.
Right. And if you're a company, if someone is on YouTube and they're talking about your product or something like that, you can do response videos. So you could do like, this product sucks. I hate it. It doesn't work. And it's like, well, you can make a response video saying like, oh, well, you're actually using it wrong. Do this, or like, we're sorry, or engage them as much as you can engage people usefully, especially like that. You know, it's promotion. It's word of mouth.
Another big one that's so big you can't ignore is Facebook. Make a page on there, especially, you know, if you just kind of got a project, you know, you, at least your friends and family are going to start supporting, and it's a good way to get some people signing up to the page or whatever to start with.
Well, and they have the like button now that you can put on any website. So the like button, you don't even have to have a profile. You can make a like button for a website. And when people like it, it gets posted on their wall. So, you know, I mean, like if they're, and it just sounds so friendly. You go to a website and you're like, AgileTask. Hey, I like AgileTask. Oh, here's a button that tells, you know, and then you click it and then it kind of gets reposted in people's news feed and stuff. That's great advertisement.
To monitor this type of stuff, kind of hit on this a little bit, but set up like Google Alerts. If you go to Google, I think you, there's Google. I think they might have a separate website called for Google Alerts. Set them up.
Oh, I don't remember.
Might just
Google.com.
But anyways, what you do is you basically type a search term in, and it can check it and basically give you like an RSS feed of that search result. Mm-hmm. And you could set things like words. Trying to find where the particular page is at, but
Google.com/alerts.
What is it?
Google.com/alerts.
Okay, so you can set up things like that. So if you're like with, for example, with AgileTask, we could set up backlog tools, to do lists, productivity, whatever.
You can get delivered to your email or an RSS feed.
Yeah, so we can have it delivered to our email, like a weekly. I think they can even set up like weekly digests, so you don't have like a million emails. Totally. You can do RSS feeds, so you could, you know, check that. And it's a good way to just keep on top of stuff, see what's going on, see what other people are doing, see what's in the news, what's happening. And it's not really, I mean, it's more like to keep an eye on of what things are happening and not really promoting, but it's good to do anyways.
Yeah. And so then, I mean, those are, a lot of those are sort of the free ones, free in that they just take time. They usually don't really take money. The paid ones are kind of out there already. You've got Google AdWords, Facebook ads are really popular. Nice about Facebook ads. You can do, targeted like based on people's location or their age. Which is pretty nice. We have a product that's based on that. And then another thing that you don't, I think a lot of people don't think of is, and it may be cheaper and much more effective, is private ads. Look at blogs. If there's a blog you like, maybe talk to them, like how much money would it cost for you to put a little banner on the side, for how long. You know, podcasts like ours, you know, you can approach people like that and say, hey, here's a product, how much, and just start that negotiation. I know a lot of them, like if you, like with us, you know, we don't get a lot of them. So I don't, I can't even say, you know, like you probably assume it's more expensive than it is for a lot of people. So those are some, you know, and I think I'm a fan of the private ads. Google AdWords, I mean, how much result do you see from that?
Almost none.
Yeah.
I was wasting money on one of them because it, again, I guess I could just tell you it was PHP rates or what it was, just like UPS rates or something. People were just looking up rates for their packages. They didn't want like a script to put on their own website or whatever. Right. It was a total waste as far as keywords go.
Mm-hmm. I think Facebook ads maybe are a little closer if it fits. Like it has to be something sort of that you can fit to a location, a network, or an age group. Maybe interest, I'm not sure, but like maybe you could say if people have interest in programming, you can put ads on them. They're pretty cool. It's a very complex ad system, kind of like Google, where you bid on certain prices, and then as it gets viewed and clicked, then you get charged.
Another good one too is buysellads.com, I believe, and that is a pretty large advertisement website. Most of the blogs that you see where they have that little gray box that you click on to go there is ran by that.
Oh, okay.
And what's nice about that is you can actually go and pick categories, e-commerce blogs or like web design blogs or whatever. And then you can go search through them and see their Alexa ratings and their Google PageRank and things. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about those is they're display ads. So they're not just text like Google AdWords. Right. And so like you were talking earlier about having your brand out there and things, it's a really good way, you know, a really cheap way to hit up a bunch of blogs that are in your industries, kind of, you know, in your industry, and get your brand out there, even if people aren't clicking, they at least kind of see your logo and get familiar with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so get your face out there. Get seen. Hey, if you guys have any tips or tricks about promoting websites that we didn't talk about or promoting anything, just online promotion, let us know. Go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We love to hear from you guys. I want to remind you, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, you can do so by going to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next week.